are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Now look, I can't speak for most of One of Us. I can't speak for most film critics, film fans, even of action fans. I've got a soft spot for Jean-Claude Van Damme. The man's the muscles from Brussels. The man has an amazing amount of charisma, even in American and English movies, for a guy who still seems like he's grasped the language worse than Arnold Schwarzenegger has in his lifetime, which is saying something. Like, it's amazing how much I enjoy his films, as much as I think I've heard he's still a pretty shitty person in real life normally. But when there's a Jean-Claude Van Damme product up for review, I have to be on it. Just, it does my heart good, even when the movie is usually terrible. Thankfully, I'm not alone on that. With me, I have Chad.
Hi.
I have Marco.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And I got Spider Mike.
Bison.
You know, it might be just because it's sheer bulk, but Jean-Claude Van Damme has probably the best movies of that action family group. Well, Stallone is up there too, but definitely not.
I think they're just the most consistent. Like, there's never like super high and super low.
Well, JCVD would be a super high.
Yeah,
like, well, that's what I mean. Like, he's very consistent. Like, you don't have a hard time being like, oh, I don't want to watch that one specifically, where you can do that with Stallone and Schwarzenegger and all those guys. You know what you're getting into with Jean-Claude Van Damme pretty much for the get-go. Like, even his terrible ones, you're just like, but it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, and you're just like having fun with him.
I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme's biggest commercial success that he's the star of is still Time Cop, which I love Time Cop. But it has some terrible moments. Yeah. Like, his last line to his bad guys, he goes, look, I am still kicking. I must be on Broadway.
It's such a weird line, but you can't help but be like, only he can say that. And you're just like, fucking sure, why not?
It only works as a callback. And I will say, as far as the Stallone reference, Lionheart by Jean-Claude Van Damme is basically his Rocky. And it's actually a really good movie with basically Bloodsport level fighting.
Dude, it's my favorite thing to show Bloodsport at 3 in the morning. If people are still at my house, it's like, congrats, we're watching Bloodsport.
I wish I was as flexible as Jean-Claude Van Damme is all I have to say.
That man also, is just still like, doing goddamn. That well at, what is he, 60 now?
He's in the 60s.
He's definitely up there, yeah.
He's 60, yeah. To be still that fit at 60, like, he's still doing those splits. That's not like, you know, quick trick shots in this movie. This movie, of course, that we've kind of danced around is The Last Mercenary, which is his newest film. It's one released by Netflix and is actually a French film. As I mentioned, he's the muscles from Brussels, but Brussels speaks French. So it fits that he's in a French film. And this one is actually surprisingly both interesting and funny when it tries to be funny for the most part.
It's a really funny movie. Like, I was surprised that because I didn't even watch the trailer for it. Like, I just saw Jean-Claude Van Damme's in a movie. I'm like, sold.
And same here.
And so I watched the movie and I'm like, this movie's fucking hilarious. Like there's like backstory about him because he's one of those backstory characters that has like a batshit insane backstory. Like, one of my favorite ones is this, like, he has this, not really so much a rivalry, but with this, like,
Commandant Gerard.
He hates him because Jean-Claude Van Damme slept with his wife on a mission. But when they're explaining it, they're just like, well, they were, you know, like, he had to do it because he was undercover. And they were, it's like, most people wouldn't have been able to do it with a flamethrower pointed at them. And that's when I just fucking lost it. Like, the second, like, they were like, oh my God, like, he had sex with his man's wife while a flamethrower was pointed at him. Because it's like, it's so absurd. And the movie constantly has jokes like that.
Well, before
that
we get
just like, oh my God.
Before we get to that, let's actually cover a bit of the plot. So Jean-Claude Van Damme, as Mike was saying, he's a legendary soldier, spy, secret agent, Richard Brumaire or The Mist. And basically something happened that we progressively find is along the lines of what Mike's talking about, which I'll get to in a second, where basically he got kicked out of the French military and went basically on the lam as, quote unquote, the last mercenary, the best mercenary in the world, because the dude is just like impossibly good. But when he got kicked out, it was to also protect his son, because his wife was mad at him and he was stuck behind enemy lines and basically like turned him over to the government. Maybe it's weird. This is one of the parts of the plot that doesn't fully get explained properly.
I thought it was funny that you wanted to talk about the plot. I'm like, there's not really a plot. It's a setup for him to rescue his son. That's what this movie
is. Exactly. So his son is a guy who has basically been, you know, quiet school kid his whole life with a strict, you know, uncle character taking care of him who clearly is the spy watching him. And we find out there's some other guy using his identity because he evidently has diplomatic immunity in some way. But it turns out that this all gets blown up because a hapless government agent decides, oh, I'm going to stop this. I see this money going to this person that I don't think exists. And it turns out it was because he was a super top secret guy and all the – and he's like, no, he's getting money in diplomatic community. This has to stop. And it sets off every mercenary in the world after him, and the kid's getting blamed for what the guy stealing his identity was doing. And so Jean-Claude Van Damme has to come out of hiding to come try to save his son. And yeah, honestly, like I was saying, it's a lot of fun. It feels very much like up there with like – Naked Gun and like Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2. Like, it's trying to be that level of stupid and that level of fun where it's playing up spy stuff. For some reason, this absurdist just kind of works for me. I don't know about the rest of you. I know Mike seems to be in the same place as me.
I all around enjoyed it, and I agree with Marco. There really isn't a plot. Like, it's there, but that's not why we're there. We're there for Jean-Claude Van Damme. I agree with everything that you guys have said so far. My only complaints about this movie is I felt like it could have leaned a little harder into the comedy. Like, I felt like it had a slight identity crisis, not throughout the whole thing, but in certain moments. And I do think a lot of the setups that we had between Brumaire and his son, like, really don't get fleshed out that much. Like, we were talking about before we started, like, the son's an idiot. And which is fine, like, that character can work, but I don't feel like he had a full arc by the end of it. Like, he sorta did something. He bowled a ball into a government official that was trying to take the money, and he's like, yeah, I did it! And Jean-Claude's like, good job, son. Our relationship is fixed. Like,
yeah, because the entire time, you know, he first meets Archibald's just talking shit about him to his face constantly. And he's just like, well, you know, there was different times. Like, he's just trying to, like, defend himself without trying to tell them who he is. But Archibald consistently fucks up. Consistently. That you're just like, why would anyone stick their neck out for this guy at this point? I'm like, you have almost gotten us killed so many times. Kind of thing. And, like every other side character is great. Like, Dahlia's this woman that he meets when he's investigating where Ferdinand's place is the first time he gets there, who turns out to be, you know, one of Archie's best friends, as he wants to be called because he doesn't like the name Archibald, as well as his as her Momo. Brother, yeah, Momo, who is also a lot of fun, who constantly is just asking for a gun, which I kept expecting him to get a gun.
I did appreciate Vermeer's character. What was the quote? Like, killing kills? Like, why don't we just kill him? And it came up a couple times. Like, no. It's final. We're not doing that.
I really like that about him because it makes you understand more about his character. Like, you understand a lot about Richard as it progresses. Like, even the reason why he leaves his son there is part of covering this conspiracy that they never really go into, kind of thing. And he's never even like, I'm going to totally blow this thing wide open. He's like, no, then we're gonna take care of this other thing. Like, he's such a, like, a patriot about what he wants to do that even though, like, he feels like he's betrayed, he still doesn't betray his country. And, like, it's fascinating because he's constantly, like, trying to be a good person, but he's not, he can't figure out how to connect with his son, which was the one thing I really liked about their relationship, was that you're watching a guy who's used to beating up people with his bare hands and doing split kicks on cars and shit, like trying to talk to his son, just like, you know, total immunity, that's kind of cool, right? Like, he didn't know, I was like, I get him, like, I got that a lot from what he was doing. But yeah, it's very much the rest of everybody else that you actually care about. Like, even the guy, the bumbling guy.
Lazar, the agent they kidnap, basically, that helps them for half the movie.
Yeah, the... Alexander Lazar, played by Alvin Ivanov. I love that dude. That dude is fucking
I thought he
amazing.
Was going to be a terrible character at first, and then once he started going through everything, he was like one of my favorite characters.
He has a better arc than the son does.
I was just going to say, like, to Ben's point, that because he compared this to Naked Gun and like a whole bunch of parody movies, this isn't in that kind of level of ridiculous, but it is still really ridiculous, but it's closer to like Stop or My Mom Will Shoot or The Last Stand kind of ridiculous. This is just a comedy action movie, and it's good because I don't think there's been one since The Last Stand by one of these old gods of action movies.
I definitely get that.
I was gonna say, I think it's trying to reach for that sometimes. Like the scene I was talking about, like when he's getting the immunity for his son, it's literally his wife is like in interrogation being like shouting at Gerard, who Gerard's like trying to like go along with the minister but also say his own thing because he hates him, while he's on the phone just punching guys and doing backflips. And it made me think of the Hot Shot scene when they're doing the Top Gun thing about the father crash landing and getting shot by the hunter. Stupid bit. Like, it's that level of crazy.
It's the way that scene plays out that keeps making me like giggle at the thought of it, because like she's yelling at him in her language because she's from somewhere else as well, and so like they don't understand what she's saying, and so like they're trying to get a translator to figure out what she's saying to figure it out, and they're like, they're speaking in code and she's just calling him a cheating fuck. And you just can't help but like just be like, man, this fucking, like, every time there's an absurd scene like that, I can't help but smile, like, every single time. Like, there's a point where he fucking has super ventriloquism, like fucking Superman, and like he can do anybody's voice, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, okay, fine. But that's the thing, the movie is just like, the movie knows full well, like, you have to understand, like from the get-go, from the moment you see one of the bad guys is a guy who wants to be Tony Montana so fucking badly that he has like a car, he's got like a license plate that says Tony in him, he speaks mostly in Tony Montana quotes. And it's funny, like, okay, we all watched it in French, as it turns out, like, because there is an English dub to this, but there's something funnier about a guy speaking those lines in French to me than there would have been if he was in English.
I think, again, one more Debbie Downer thing I'm gonna throw at this movie. Again, I really liked it, I enjoyed it, but I was slightly disappointed, and it's a mix of things. So Jean-Claude Van Damme is in his mid-60s, probably pushing 70. You could definitely tell.
He's actually just 60. I just looked it up.
Only 60? Man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Cocaine. Still. Hell of a drug. Still looks
great. Okay. All right. Well, all right. So there's two more complaints I want on this. One is the fact that they used a body double for a lot of it, which is fine. Like, he's getting older. He probably can't do the same stuff he used to do. But the way it was shot really made it obvious that it was a body double. You know, a lot of behind stuff where if we would have shot this 30 years ago with Jean-Claude Van Damme, it would have been wider, would have been less cuts. And that could also be because of the time we're in and we don't make movies like that anymore. But I felt like it was a little bit, I don't know, it's sad. It's not, I'm not mad about it. It's just like, it sucks when
it's a personal gripe, and I can feel it. But, I guess the long hair wig wasn't enough for you to know that it's not Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, and that's my other point, too. I felt like, and I went back and thought about this, too. Like, maybe all the bad wigs were on purpose, just to make it really stand out that he's supposed to be undercover and, like, the best.
I think they were.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figured it was the gag, is that, like, how bad his wigs and stuff were.
That stupid giant beard he has at the beginning, too. It's just like...
Because there's a gag, really, like, in the middle of the movie where it's just like, oh, we need a picture of him. And the last picture, when he was, like, 12, and he's got, like, a tiny cowboy outfit on. And you're, like, no one knows what he looks like. And so it makes the terrible wigs that much funnier to me, because no one knows what he looks like anyways. And so but he's still doing it, so, like, he doesn't get caught. But I get what you mean 100%. A lot of the big tentpole people they're fucking way up there in their age. Like, it's hard to... Like, yeah, it's a personal gripe.
And I'm not mad at him for being older and, like, being like, well, hey, I can't do the same things I used to do. It's just, again, personal gripe.
Well, it's distracting. Like you said, it's distracting because your mind keeps, like, you're like, oh, I like, it makes the scenes, like, the shooting of the scenes would be different if it was still him, kind of thing, is what you're saying. I'm gonna bring up the gripes because I keep saying great things about it because it is a good film. But the movie's really long. Like, it's like two hours long, and because of the sun being annoying, you feel that time as it progresses, because you're just like, son, stop being a fuck. And you're just like, and so if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't feel the time, but I kept waiting for his character to do something. And then that's what made the time even longer.
My bigger gripe is, because I didn't, you know, chime in when you guys are riffing on the sun earlier, but it's honestly, it's throughout this movie where even the characters start shitting on him, which should be just them being, you know, be for a laugh. But like at a point, you're just like, no, I really agree with every one of these characters. Why the fuck are you still here? Like, it's so bad where the sun is like, doesn't even want to work with them. He wants to almost work directly against them. And so they literally have to like handcuff him. And then he still finds a way to get in the way again, which, and then he supposedly does something good at the end of that scene after he already fucked everything up. And that's another problem of that movie, is the rest of that scene is like, well, cool, the guy you needed was knocked unconscious. Why didn't you just use that? Instead, somehow he got away. Everyone was unconscious but you. What the fuck happened? And it's never explained in that scene. And there's a few scenes like that where, like, I think definitely if they lean more into the comedy and more of that absurdist stuff that they were doing, instead of trying to make us pay attention to this greater narrative of, oh, the spy stuff going on, we got to do X and Y and this betrayal and double betrayal, it could have been better, because like we would have paid less attention to the plot than we even do, and maybe accepted them just shitting on the sun more instead of the sun getting in the way. It just, he's the bumbling idiot that everybody goofs on. Instead of, we get Alex, who shows up just that much funnier as a bumbling idiot than the sun is, that you basically hate the sun more. It's like, this bumbling idiot's at least charming. What are you bringing to this movie?
Whereas his sons, like, they're like, just sit here. That's all you have to do. Just don't go anywhere. I'm going to be gone for like maybe a couple hours, and then I'll come back and then we'll figure something out. And he's like, yeah, I went out for a walk. Like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then they get attacked, and then like later on something's happening. He's like, we just need you to fucking sit here. Stop it. And then he fucking does something again and fucks up his face in the middle of it. I get Archibald being mad about him being a bad dad, because honestly, like, he is like, he's not the best dad. He's a great agent, as he says, but he's not a good dad. Problem is, son's not a good son either. Yeah, no. Like, he's not trying to understand where Richard's coming from in any shape, way, or form. He's constantly just like, ah, you've abandoned me. Even though Ferdinand, to his face before he dies, is like, your father never abandoned you. He loves you for everything, and we're going to fight these people to death, like, for you forever. And he's just like, no, I'm good. I didn't listen to any of that. It's like, oh, so fuck's
sake. The biggest issue I have with that is, legitimately, the son keeps saying, you don't care about me. You're just focused on this mission for the country. And one, I love that humor of, like, everyone's like, well, yeah, I mean, sorry, it's all of France, we need to do this. But also, two, the mission that they're on is legitimately parallel to helping him accomplish what Archibald wanted. Archibald wanted his identity back. Cool, the bad guys we're trying to stop stole your identity. They kind of go hand in hand, Archie. Maybe fucking work with them. Instead, he's just a shit getting in the way every time. And, like, yeah, it's partially on the plot and the characters and the writing that they don't say that to his face, but it's also like, maybe give Archie a moment of any realization of that where he actually makes his character.
I feel like Jean-Claude does say it to him in his face in the climax, where it's like, hey, I'm not the father you want, and you're not the son that I want, because you can't even drive a car without losing it. So, I mean,
I like that scene a lot, because everyone gives him shit, because like every single person in the room is like, fuck you. Like, everyone, like, it's like a nice cathartic moment, but he still doesn't really feel like he changes after that. And that's really the biggest issue with Archie, is that, like, even like Chad was saying, the last, what, 10 minutes, he's like, I did a thing, and then like, yeah, everything's now great, and he's like patting him on the back, and everyone's like, yeah. It's like, what are you talking about?
Mike, here, roll that into your final thoughts.
So I like this movie a lot. Like, I'm sure I'm giving some gripes. Like, I still feel like some stuff is missing. Some of that's hinted at in the credits one, because very early on, Ferdinand sends a message. The lamb is out of the freezer, I think is what it is. And then it shows the people that helped rescue him in the middle of the movie. Or those are the people who answer the thing in the credits. But yeah, like, I like this movie a lot, but it has its issues. Like, as much as I'm saying I love it, like, it does have its issues. It's really long. Archie's annoying as shit. The acting is actually pretty good for everybody that's involved. He has, like, even the people who eventually become more integral to the story as it progresses, because in the beginning you think they're just, like, side characters. And then the action sequences I had a lot of fun with still. Like, sure, some of them are kind of iffy with the way they're filmed, but there's some really fun, absurd stuff going on in the middle of them that I couldn't help but laugh at. But once it was all said and done, I couldn't help but have loved it. Like, I just got past a lot of the stuff. And Jean-Claude Van Damme is just charming as hell from beginning to end, as he always tends to be. There's an after-credit scene as well. It's a really sweet after-credit scene, so I would say just at least just, you know, watch that real quick. It doesn't, like, doesn't hint at anything coming or anything. It's just a quick thing that the director, I think, did. But it's a really sweet movie. It's on Netflix, so you don't really have to go out to, you know, and you don't have to pay like $30 to Disney Plus or something to watch this movie. So it's just, which just comes with your Netflix subscription. I would give it 8 out of 10 times fucking push it to the limit.
Chad, how about you next?
So I feel like going back through my head, I kind of dumped all over this movie, but I feel like I prefaced it like I agreed with everybody. Like, this is a good movie. Like, you, if you're a fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme, you kind of know what you're getting. And the fact that it's more of a comedy than an action movie makes it better, at least for me personally. I'm a big fan of, like, what Edgar Wright does. And to me, he's, like, the pinnacle of mixing genre with comedy. So in my head, I feel like it could have been a better movie in the hands of somebody like that. But that being said, I still really enjoyed this movie. It is a little bit long. I have my gripes with it. Another one I want to point out, the makeup sucked. Like, if the wigs are going to be on purpose, fine. But, like, his normal, like, everyday makeup was awful. And then it made him look like he was a lizard person. And then Lazar, when he gets punched in the face and he's got that lip, that prosthetic looks so bad. It looked like you could see the edge of it on the inside, and I don't know. I know a lot of makeup artists that would be pissed off that they didn't get a chance to do that effect. Anyways, that all being said, and kind of what Mike was saying, like, you're not going to spend a lot to see this movie, so just go see it. Like, what do you got going on? Like, for real, no, you've got nothing going on. Just watch it. So I will give The Last Mercenary, it would be 6.5 Le Big Macs out of 10. But because Jean-Claude Van Damme is in, I'm going to give it an even 7. Le Big Macs out of 10.
Marco, what are your thoughts?
Just to rehash one last gripe, because everyone's being super positive at the end. And that's on the note of what Chad was saying. The action isn't very good. Because not only is Jean-Claude old, the two dudes that he's fighting for most of this movie also are kind of old. That being said, it's not an act. Action is the plot, but it's more of a comedy game. And it's great at that. It is a really funny movie. Mike is right. It's a little bit long. But I say if you break it up like a little bit, like you get to the climax or you just call it in at an hour and then come back and watch it, it's almost like the perfect 2-episode thing that you can do. That being said, I really enjoyed it a lot, but I'm an action junkie, just like Ben was saying, like loving Jean-Claude. So I'd give it 7 out of 10. Bad wigs. 7 out of 10 bad wigs.
Yeah, I made it pretty clear from the beginning. I love Jean-Claude. I've hit enough of the negatives in this, and we've hit enough of the positives. Like, I don't want to belabor it. I had a lot of fun. I think Van Damme is having a great time here, and he's really committing to it, which part of the reason I still love him so much is, like, he's committed to being a comedy action star. He's like, I get it. I'm a little bit goofy, especially in American films. I'll be goofy. So that's great. And yeah, the whole supporting cast, the movie is a long line of French absurdist that I love. Like, if you know, like the OSS 117 films, like French do great absurdist humor. And we really underplay that. And I think this guy plays Alexander. The dude is downright going Pink Panther levels of stupid, just happens to be successful at times moments. And it's great. It's just, it's a lot of fun. I put this on last night when I was having like a bad night, come back from a press screening, and just was like, I need something in the background that might like distract me from how I was feeling. And just, I didn't watch all of it again, but it was just fun. Like, there's even a good driving sequence we didn't touch on that I think is actually a pretty good driving action scene, even if a lot of the physical action's mixed. So I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 really, really meta Bloodsport references.
Oh my God, that was such a great little meta moment.
I would actually watch another one of these movies that without the sun in it. If there was another Jean-Claude Van Damme as the Mist, I would watch
it. It should start with the sun having died horribly, and then we'll just go from there.
The sun's in training school to be his own type of spy, and then next movie, he shows up with a different actor.